Have you ever been so thirsty that you were just craving that your favorite drink and you would go to great lengths to get it? Maybe you had to drive somewhere to get it, or you had to find some money to get it. Whatever the case, you just desired it. Well, today I'm going to share two of my favorite drinks with you, Dr. Pepper and sweet tea. Milo's as an example today, and Milo's looks like Pentecost all year round. Their label's red all year round. It's pretty awesome. These are two of my favorite drinks, and there is nothing better whenever you have that craving. You're sitting down with an ice-cold Dr. Pepper or sweet tea, and you have those cravings. You have those desires. Maybe it's not sweet tea or Dr. Pepper. Maybe it's a big glass of ice water, a cold glass of milk. Maybe it's a fine Lutheran beverage from your friends at Yazoo Brewery or from the good folks in Shiner, Texas. We'll go to great lengths to find that which quenches our thirst. I'm kind of a little wild in this. Maybe you do this too, but if I'm looking for some sweet tea and I know that a certain restaurant doesn't have great sweet tea, I'll say, oh, let's not go there because their sweet tea's not that good. Or, you know, if I'm looking for a Dr. Pepper, for example, Taco Bell. Sometimes they have Dr. Pepper, and sometimes they don't. So there's been times where I've went past the closest Taco Bell to go to the next closest Taco Bell so I could get some Dr. Pepper because it was on their fountain that they have there at the restaurant. Funny thing, are we ever going to be able to drink out of fountains again? I don't know. But I would do that. Maybe you do too, because you have this desire. You're craving that sugary drink, and you will go to crazy lengths sometimes to get it. You'll pay a price that's higher because they have it. You'll ship it from wherever. If it's a certain type of coffee or drink that you can't get locally, you'll get on Amazon and see if they have it. And even if it costs more than it would in a store, you'll get it. See, it's got me thinking. In life, you and I will go to great lengths to have our thirst quenched. We'll seek fulfillment in life in numerous different ways. Entertainment, winning an argument, making sure that our house is better and bigger than maybe the neighbor next to us or our friends around us. Making sure that our kids are the most successful possible, so much so that we'll go to great lengths to see that happen by centering our lives around them in an unhealthy way. We'll do those things because we have these thirst that we long to quench of being cared for, being valued, feeling valued, feeling loved or wanted, feeling powerful, making sure that we have enough money or entertainment or pleasure. And we'll go to great lengths to find those things. We're seeking living water to quench our thirst. Well, on this Pentecost Sunday, we're looking at John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. And the context of these verses looks like this. It's the last day of a festival called the Feast of Booths. And this is, because it's the last day, the celebration's at a climax. They're at the biggest point of the festival. And each morning of this festival, the priest would fill a pitcher of water from the pool of Siloam. Commentators state the people would be lined up as the priest carried the silver pitcher down a path. The priest would then take the pitcher of water and carry it While the people are chanting Isaiah 12, verse 3, with joy you'll draw waters from the wells of salvation. Trumpets would blast as the priests would carry that water into the temple. And then the priests would proceed to pour that water all the way around the altar. And the priests would do this once a day. This act reminded the people about how God provided water for the people of Israel from a rock. And what it reminded the people then was just as God provided for the people of Israel water out of a rock then, he continues to provide for them now. And it was that continuous reminder, like, hey, God still got you, everybody. He's provided for the people of Israel. He's still providing for you. And this was just a visual reminder, a way they could say, oh, yeah, I almost forgot about that. God does still provide. That's why they did this festival, this way of doing this. And at this point in the text, it says, Jesus stood up and he cried out, if anyone's thirsty, come to me and drink. So you just had the priest do this symbolic picture of showing God is still providing. And now Jesus stands up, gives an impromptu sermon and goes, oh, by the way, hey, if anyone's thirsty, I can quench your thirst. Now, later on, in this text, we see the Pharisees and Sadducees, they're not happy with Jesus about this because for years, for centuries, this has been the way it's been. We do this feast of booths to show God is providing. And now this guy gets up and says, well, I can quench your thirst. You see, this was before Jesus was crucified. And the way he's talking about just as if anyone's thirsty, come to me and drink. He's saying, like, I am the thirst quencher. But people didn't really buy that and understand. Well, we know now what Jesus was saying is once he's risen from the dead, the Holy Spirit at Pentecost is going to descend upon the people of God. And they would have their thirst quenched by the Holy Spirit entering into their hearts, giving them faith, making them more and more like Christ each and every day. That's what Jesus was talking about. It was a picture of what was yet to come. And so we know that as followers of Christ, if you are a follower of Christ listening today, Jesus has given you this. He has quenched your thirst through the Holy Spirit entering your heart in a miraculous supernatural event called baptism, where God's water and the word intersect, and Jesus gives you forgiveness and grace that's never ending. That's how he does this. But we know that now, yet we still go to other things to quench our thirst. A sugary drink, another man or woman who's not our spouse, money, power. We'll go to all those things to quench this thirst that we have in life instead of Jesus. But why? Well, maybe our lives are just full of the things of this world. Maybe we feel like those are things that bring us peace and fulfillment and happiness. Maybe we don't feel like we really need Jesus, or perhaps we don't have the time, or better yet, we don't make the time to go to Jesus. We all have 24 hours in a day. Yet a lot of times we will try to focus on those things that we desire to quench our thirst. And we'll go to great lengths, as I mentioned. We'll spend time driving to a restaurant a lot farther away or doing those things for sweet tea or Dr. Pepper. something that's a sugary liquid, but we won't spend 20 minutes in God's word and prayer going to him. We'll look everywhere else to have our thirst quenched except to the person that can actually quench our thirst, who's actually given us the Holy Spirit who dwells inside our hearts, yet we forget or we turn to other idols, other means. The problem with doing this, as you and I know because we've done it, is the thirst quenching that we receive when it's not going to Jesus or the Holy Spirit is only temporary. It doesn't last for very long. And then we find ourselves in the same cycle, having to find things that quench our thirst. See, the people of Jesus' day were in the same thirst-quenching search. They felt they didn't need Jesus. They didn't have time for him. Maybe they didn't understand him. And what did he mean when he said, anybody who's thirsty, come to me and drink? What kind of thirst is this? Well, it wasn't talking about a physical thirst that would be quenched with a Milo sweet tea or Dr. Pepper. Instead, it was a spiritual thirst, a heartfelt desire. Martin Luther states, it's a distressed, wretched, terrified, despondent, and frightened heart which longs to know on what terms it is with God. And so at the time when Jesus had this impromptu statement that he said, anybody who wants to quench their thirst, come to me, the people of the day that were under the excruciating law of the Pharisees and Sadducees, and the law that they were plagued with left them comfortless. They were always trying to figure out, if I've done enough to earn salvation. You see, the Pharisees and Sadducees taught the people that human beings were part of the equation for receiving salvation, that they played a role. It wasn't just God giving you grace and mercy. Instead, you had to work to obtain it. You had to go after God. God wouldn't come down to you and meet you where you were at. You had to climb up to him. And so as a result, the question that the people were always asking was, have I done enough? And most of them could live 100,000 years and they would never know if they had done enough. That was the burden. And so they were always trying to figure out how their thirst could be quenched. And it was never enough. They longed to be, had that burden removed and to know that they, their thirst, their forgiveness, all of their sins were forgiven. Everything was taken care of. And so as a result, their thirst was quenched. And today we have the same things going on. Much like I described with my affinity with Dr. Pepper, sweet tea, we will go to these crazy lengths to get whatever it is that we feel like can quench our thirst. Just to be valued or important, that desire to be quenched. We want respect, we'll go to great lengths to get it. We want attention from our parents. So we may even partake in negative behavior just so we get some type of attention from our parents, even if it's a negative attention. Maybe they'll notice us. We'll seek money or entertainment or pleasure, all for the sake of quenching our thirst, thinking that those things will quench our thirst. The only problem is that at some point, the sweet tea or the Dr. Pepper, the money or the power, they run out or they leave us thirsty. And it leaves you looking to have your thirst quenched again. Maybe this morning this message is hitting you right between the eyes because this is where you've been. I know it has been for me. If you're thirsty, I want to introduce you to the ultimate thirst quencher. You see, Jesus in this text said, if you're hungry, if you're thirsty, come to me and you'll never thirst again. And we know on this Pentecost that the Holy Spirit has poured an overabundance of grace and mercy and forgiveness into everybody who believes in Jesus as Savior, who believes that they're sinful and they need the forgiveness of Jesus. They need that thirst quenching. That's who Jesus is. And he sent his Holy Spirit into your heart and my heart through the amazing waters of baptism, through his word, where Jesus says, you are forgiven. You are loved. I am here so that you will never thirst again. And better yet, he gives us an overabundance of grace and mercy, so much so that we have the opportunity to share that grace and mercy with those around us. He says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Well, you and I have received the living waters of grace and forgiveness in abundance from God our Father, from Jesus Christ, from the Holy Spirit. And as a result, you and I can go to a friend, a family member, a coworker, anybody in our circles of influence. And we can share, hey, you know what? I was trying to quench my thirst with everything but Christ. And what I found is it didn't work. Instead, what I found is Jesus gives me everything I need. He is the one who is the ultimate thirst quencher, who gives me an overabundance of his grace and mercy. Even though I don't deserve it, even though I continuously run away from him, he's always running after me. And what I found, friend or family member or neighbor, is that Jesus gives me everything I need. My identity is found in him, not in this world or what others think of me. And friends, the gospel message that Jesus paid the price for you, that he flooded forgiveness of sins and grace and mercy, that's your story because of Jesus. And so how do we share the grace and forgiveness of those around us? With the spoken word of God, through the gift of prayer, through encouraging words from God's word. If you ever have somebody who's just struggling with anxiety, you can go into Google and you can type Bible verses that speak about anxiety, and you can select one to share with your friend. It's as simple and as difficult as that. And that's what we have. We have the overabundance of grace and mercy that's yours on this Pentecost and always because of Jesus providing the Holy Spirit and faith and forgiveness and grace for you. And so as a result, it's all going to be okay. Amen.